Hi, I'm Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, and today's podcast is about keeping a record of your running, a daily running journal. Do you do that now? If you don't, it's January now. Why not make that a New Year's resolution to keep an accurate journal of all your running activities in 2012? Here today, I'm going to give you some ideas of things that you should or you might want to consider including in that journal, and I'll try to give you some idea of why those could make a difference for you. Let's say you're making your journal entry for today. On a scale of 1 to 10, how did you feel? How did you sleep the night before or last night? How many hours and how well? If you didn't have a great run, this alone could be the cause. And sometimes looking at these kinds of things and keeping track of it from day to day will help you understand that. And sometimes, like, you might not even be thinking at 6 o'clock in the afternoon when you have a lousy run that, oh yeah, I only slept 5 hours last night. So sometimes this kind of thing can be helpful. What did you eat or not eat before running? Were you properly hydrated? Again, these kinds of things will help you understand why you had the kind of run you had. Did you consume any gels on your run? If you had a long run, or particularly if it was a long and hot run, did you consume any electrolytes? Of course, those would be the gels I just mentioned, but also it could be, electrolyte drinks. If you're running in hot weather, and or if you're doing long runs, you need to be using your body as a textbook, testing different foods, goos, and electrolyte replacement products to see how your body responds. You want to do this in training, not in a race, and your journal is a perfect place to take notes. Maybe you felt like you maintained a good energy level during a 12-mile run, but you felt a bit sickish after some of your gels. Then you may have determined from that how much you need to consume and when, but now you know that perhaps you need a different brand of gel, or maybe you need real food instead. Always note what you ate and when, and how you felt. Which shoes did you wear? This can be a huge factor. If you begin to exercise and experience any kind of ache or pain, the first thing to consider is whether you're wearing new shoes or different shoes from usual. Another consideration is that maybe your shoes are too old. The easiest ache or pain to remedy is the one caused by the wrong shoes or old shoes. I've known of runners getting x-rays, MRIs, etc., only to discover, after weeks of trotting to doctors and having tests made, waiting for results, and worrying, that all they needed was a new pair of shoes. Very often, runners forget to even consider that possibility. If your shoes are a couple of months old and you start having aches and pains, go ahead and get a new pair. If that doesn't solve the problem, then you haven't wasted any money and you've ruled out shoes as being the cause. It's important to do that first. In fact, and I realize I'm digressing here, everyone should have at least two different shoes, two different models or brands of shoes that they wear. Ideally, you may want to have several pair. One for trails, if you run trails sometimes. A couple pair for your usual road running, if that's what you usually do. You could even have three pair that you alternate for that. And a pair for racing. In fact, some people, if they race short races and longer races, might want to have a pair of racing flats for 5Ks and perhaps some more cushioned shoes for longer races. For example, I usually wear a more minimalist type of shoe for most of my running. But if I'm going to be out there running 13 or more miles, then I switch to a more cushioned, more traditional shoe, because that seems to be easier on my legs, so I want a little bit more cushioning then. So anyway, the point is I suggest everybody have several pairs of shoes, and because you have several pairs of shoes, it's important that you make a note of which shoes you're wearing on which days, because that way you can determine if the shoes had anything to do with any kinds of aches or pains that you have. Mileage, how far you ran and what speed. Was it a straight run or a walk run? Most running injuries occur when the runner suddenly increases mileage or intensity. That's why you need to be keeping a record. Sometimes you accidentally do too much too close together. What was your pace? And don't misinterpret the fact that I said write this down. Remember, one of my biggest messages on this podcast and in my blog is that most people overtrain, at least as many people overtrain as undertrain. You should not think this needs to be a fast time that you're writing down. It should be a fast time only if you're doing speed work, and you should only be doing speed work if it's a day when you're scheduled to do speed work, which should not be more than twice a week. Don't think that if you don't have a fast time to write down, you can't be proud to write it down. In fact, if you're one of those people that has a tendency to push all the time, you should take great pride in being able to write down a time that demonstrates that you've exercised restraint and you have run at a pace that was nice and easy and comfortable. One of your goals should always be to run 80% of your miles at a comfortable, easy, conversational pace. Keep track of this. What kind of workout was it? Was it just easy distance on an easy day or speed work? Make a note about that. And if it was speed work, make a note about what you did. Was it hill work? Did you do a tempo run? Intervals? Fartleks? You don't want to do the same type of speed work week after week. Writing these notes of what you do will remind you to mix it up. Additionally, if you do hill work, write down exactly what you did. If you did a tempo run, how many miles and what was your pace? If you did intervals, what was the time that you did? What time did you run them and how much time did you rest in between? You want to be able to compare one time. Let's say you do 3 sets of 4/4 miles. Well, I generally don't have my groups that I coach do that kind of thing more than once every couple of weeks. I wouldn't have them do it 2 weeks in a row. So I might have them do it 1 week and then again 2 weeks later and then again 2 weeks later. Well, if you do that, it's good for you to write down the times in your journal so that then 2 weeks later you can compare and 2 weeks later you can compare to that. It's very helpful and informative. What was the surface like that you ran on? Leaves, pine needles, bark chips, gravel, rocky, dirt, asphalt, cement? Write that down too. Some people will discover from making these notes that, hey, every time I run on cement, I get shin splints. Well, that can be very helpful. I know people like that. My legs, my knees, they don't even seem to notice the difference. But some people are extremely sensitive to that, and the sooner they find out, the better. Did anything hurt? Did you have any aches and pains? Did anything unusual happen? Did you fall? Trip? Get a blister? Let's talk about that for a minute, especially falling or tripping. This is critical that you write this down. A lot of times somebody falls and they blow it off and they think it's not important. And I understand that. You know, I don't think you should make a huge issue out of it every time you fall down, of course. But here's the thing. A lot of times you don't think you were hurt in any way. But what can happen is that it's just a very, very slight injury. Let's say it's to your knee. But it can cause you to alter the way that you run ever so slightly. But the fact is that then maybe 3, maybe 4 days later, all of a sudden you notice a new ache or pain. And you have the tendency is to assume that it's not related to that fall because it's been 3 or 4 days. So you assume that whatever ache or pain you're feeling wasn't caused by the fall. But the fact is, it could be caused by some kind of alteration in your gait. And so it took 3 or 4 days of running in that altered gait, and all of a sudden some other part of your body is starting to hurt because now your gait is suddenly modified and it's not comfortable and natural anymore. So going back and saying, hey, but wait, 4 days ago I fell, I landed on my knee, and maybe you can figure it out, and you may be in a position where you're trying to tell the massage therapist or the chiropractor or somebody how you fell. So it can really be helpful to have that kind of information. So even if you think a fall is not important, absolutely write it down when it's fresh in your mind, how you fell, what surface you fell on, what hit the ground, how you felt afterward, how you felt afterward, etc. And last, make a note of who you ran with. This may seem unimportant, but sometimes you make new friends and you find out their names. You might want to remember that later. You probably won't remember it 3 days later, but if you write it down, you'll have that record, and sometimes that is helpful. Okay, that's just a snapshot of some of the things to note. I'll tell you what I think are the 4 most important. How far you ran, what pace you ran, whether or not anything hurt, and what shoes you ran in. It's always fascinating to me to go back at the end of the year and add up my mileage. So to me, that's the single most important thing to note. If you keep track of your mileage during the year, you'll be much more likely to keep up with your New Year's resolution to increase your mileage. So in fact, keeping a journal will provide motivation for your running, something many people don't think about. Think about this. No one wants to write down a zero, a big goose egg, for their total mileage for any day, unless it was a planned rest day. Because the thing is, and you need to really think about this, every time you write down a zero, it means you're pulling yourself away from the likelihood of achieving your goal number of miles for the year. So every single week matters. When you have a journal like this, you tend to focus more on keeping up with your schedule, on looking at how many total miles you have each week. So I suggest you have a way of, like at the end of every week, you total the miles for that week, and at the end of every month, you total the miles for that month. So that way you can see if you're keeping up with it. So I think most people are very visual, and it helps you if you have it right there, cold, hard facts about how much you're running. A lot of people will think they're doing a lot more running than they are. When they start actually keeping track of those miles, they start to have to realize, hey, I'm not doing that many miles. Sometimes I'll ask one of my newer runners, how many miles are you doing per week? And they have to stop and think about it. And when they think about it, they usually realize they're not running very much. And that's especially important to a newer runner, because research shows that the fastest way to get faster until you're running 25 miles a week is to simply run more miles. That's all for today. Today is the second day of 2012. How's your running going so far? One of my resolutions is to be much more consistent with this podcast, so look for another one next week. If you liked this podcast, I hope you'll go to Mojo for Running on iTunes and leave a rating. I would really appreciate that. That's another resolution for 2012. I've got 17 ratings on iTunes now, and I hope to triple that number this year, but I'll need your help. If there's a topic you would like for me to address on this podcast, please drop me an email. My address is deb@mojoforrunning.com. My book, After Your First 5K, is being printed right now. Until now, it has only been available as an ebook, so I'm very excited to get it printed and get it available for you. It'll be 196 pages. Even if you've done many 5Ks, I guarantee you'll find lots of helpful information in this book. It includes things like how to make your own running schedule, what to consider. It explains hard and easy days, the hard and easy principle. It explains the long run. It explains when to increase your mileage, how much, different patterns for increasing your mileage. It explains how to cross train, the difference between different cross training, because, you know, a lot of coaches just lump it all together. And I don't agree with that at all. I think there are so many different kinds of cross training. So there, you really need to give it some thought. I love cross training, but you need to think about when to do it. It talks about stretching, when to stretch, how to stretch, what to do before, what to do after, how to strength train, where to incorporate strength training into your schedule, and much, much more. So this book really is not just for newer runners. If you've done 20, 30, 40, 50, 5Ks, I guarantee you'll still find lots of information in this book. And one of the things I was trying to do when I was writing it was to convey the little things that I've learned over the years running that I learned by trial and error. And so if I can pass them on to you, you can gain a lot more knowledge much faster, and you don't have to make some of the same mistakes that I did. The book will sell for $12.95, and if you go to Mojo for Running, you can pre-order it right now, and if you do that, you'll get the PDF booklet, How to Run Faster, 15 Tips, and you'll get that immediately. Now for today's quote. This quote is from my friend Galen Garrison. Running is just a good excuse to hang out with some awesome people. I couldn't agree more, Galen, and you're one of those people.